You're listening to Healthcare Now Radio. Stand by for This Just In, the latest in healthcare innovation and technology trends with your HIT advisor, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to This Just In. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these half-hour segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in corporate strategy, innovation, and entrepreneurialism. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Just In studios on the Business Radio X Network, as well as the Healthcare Now Radio Network. And before we dive into my first guest, which I'm very excited about today, I'm also equally as thrilled to let everyone know that the This Just In radio show will be going on the road this spring and broadcasting live from the HIM16 annual conference in Las Vegas starting March 1st. We already have a great slate of CEO, CIO, care providers, thought leaders, and even a few celebrity guests confirmed for the show. The HIMS media team has just begun rolling this broadcast strategy out, and it should be a great, great time. We even have a really cool special stage being built to resemble the ESPN College Game Day look and feel. So hopefully everyone's registering for HIM16 in Las Vegas, and we'll see you there. For this episode, though, my 36th episode, we're going to speak to a global entrepreneur, a longtime friend, and my wife, Jennifer Barnes. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Thanks.
You have a great inspirational story of entrepreneurialism, success, and now philanthropy. You started your own small business at the age of 24, Barnes Appraising Services, and recently started a global social enterprise called Life Tote. So I want to touch on both of those because your story is inspirational, but also I think very encouraging to people, to audiences of everyone. I mean, really, to be honest, I mean, what you've done, what you've accomplished motivates certainly me, but also motivates a lot of our community and people around us. But back in 2007, you started Barnes Appraising, and amidst the real estate implosion, I like to say, and economic downturn, many were actually getting out of the business at that time, but you kind of turned into it, it was a boon for you. Because organizations need value, they need to have their distressed assets valued, as well as banks, who certainly need appraisals for closed properties. You probably saw a little bit of that, but also I know your faith drove you and just your own persistence. So, what got you started in the business back then?
Well, you know, actually, just to get the details straight, yeah. I started my business and then the market turned, and so exactly. I was kind of stuck in a situation where. I said, do I get out because this is looking so dismal and I've just begun, or do I get creative and find a way to survive and thrive in all these changes that are taking place? But the driving force behind the initial decision to go into business for myself at such an early age was really just a desire for independence. And that desire grew into a desire to see others have that same independence for themselves as well. And so it seemed like the right time to take the leap. Mm-hmm. And you were behind me kind of yelling jump too, which helped. Right. But I would have to say independence was the number one driver and the greater opportunity.
Yep. No, that makes a lot of sense. So how did you do it? Because a lot of people, they want their own independence. They have ideas. But really, how did you do it? And what were some of the driving factors there?
Well, anything worth having comes at a cost. And I think that's something that we all need to keep in mind. If you see someone who has had great success, mm-hmm. there's something along the line that has been sacrificed. And so heart and humility would be the two principles that I would lay out there that were the driving forces behind the success. Heart meaning hard work.
Yeah.
And I started from the bottom and adopted the mindset that knowledge and experience was more valuable to me than money in the beginning, because I knew that gaining those things would prepare me for success in the future. I worked underneath others I could learn from until I felt confident enough in my knowledge and abilities to be successful on my own.
Yeah, no, great points and also just great factors to success. So when others are contemplating this, what advice would you offer them for starting their own business? What directions would they turn? You know, how do they get the mentorship and what directions? What would be your
advice? Well, mentorship is a big one. And I think that we should never fear putting ourselves underneath someone who has already been where we want to go. And so I think that's where the humility comes in. is admitting and knowing you might have big dreams and aspirations, but you may not be ready yet.
Right.
And then the other piece of that is understanding when it is time to leap. And if there's something inside of you that is desiring more for your future, your career, or even for your family, it's always beneficial to lean into that yearning and pay attention to it, because that's part of knowing yourself. And knowing yourself and your desires and your abilities is a really critical component to your success.
Yeah, no, I think people today want to, quote unquote, get rich quick, and they don't want to kind of pay their dues. They aren't looking for the mentorship. They just want to kind of jump right to the top, and they don't realize that it's not the top that sustains. It's actually the walls that you build. It's the hard work and the dedication that you put into it to actually get there, and then following somebody's path or following some good leadership, good guidance. Not only does it give you a path, but also gives you a lot of the wisdom that you need to sustain success. Because if you're successful very quickly, you also could lose it very quickly if you haven't built the wisdom along the way. So, I mean, as you look out, what are some of the things that you learned through those time frames, and just what advice would you have to say, hey, these are some of the things that I learned, some of the wrong turns that I may have taken, or I saw and I didn't exactly, go down that path, or here's how I persevered through those hard times.
Well, I think the point that you made to sustainability is a big one, because there are a lot of people who have had some quick success, but it's maintaining that success in the long run that's really going to define your success and the kind of legacy that you leave behind in terms of a company or a family or an entire career, whatever it is that you're wanting to succeed in. So I think that those slower rises to the top sometimes can create the most substance for a sustainable future. And there's no shame in getting your hands dirty and doing those tasks that one day you want to evolve out of, so that your floor becomes another person's ceiling, and then being able to hand that down to them. There's a lot of pride that can be taken in that. And so some of my more humble moments are some of my proudest moments, and being able to say, as a small business owner, there's no task in this company that I haven't done.
Right.
And there's no task that I'm not willing to step back into if the time calls for it. And understanding that those are the things that create a culture and an environment where people want to grow and flourish, which is also part of building a successful organization as well.
Yeah, no, actually, you bring up a very good point, because I'm kind of in the middle, as you know my world very well, but I'm in the middle of that right now. I've built, helped build companies, helped run sales teams and different corporate enterprises. But now, every once in a while, you got to take a couple of steps back to grow. And so now I'm helping companies increase their corporate revenue and their sales and their branding and their revenue overall. But in some ways, it's a big leap forward, because now I'm more an advisor to several companies. But also, it's getting back into the weeds, and I'm actually helping people drive revenue, whatever it takes, whether it's closing deals, looking bigger, driving funding, bringing new corporate funding, taking a company public, whatever it is. It's bringing me back to what I had learned in the last 20 years in my career. So you're very true. I mean, you're very accurate when you say you never know when you have to step back into something to drive maybe something else forward.
Absolutely. And to your point, watching you step back into some of those roles after having already been all the way through them, I've seen an energy in you and an enthusiasm about doing that that you may not have had the first time you walked through it, but it's because you've seen the full path and you know it much better. And so I think that that's an asset to put in your pocket that you can't always monetize.
Happiness is, very true.
Yeah, for sure.
No, you can't. And I promise you, I did not have that enthusiasm the first time I went through it. And I may not have that enthusiasm the second time, but now I'm at a different point in my life. And I look back and I'm like, actually, those are the good times. That, driving revenue for a company or closing a really big deal, I love that stuff. It fuels me, it energizes me, and it never gets old. It just gets more exciting. Because then also, you realize, and I know this is your philosophy with your business and in mentorship, and we're going to certainly get there, but you also see how you're growing everybody around you. And so now you're creating a bunch of new leaders and people who are tasting success maybe for the first time or even the second time. And then you can see how you begin to create economy. You create communities. You create a lot of opportunity for lots of people. And that just gets exciting in itself.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, and before we go on too far, because I know we're going to touch into some mentorship, but your business, your mentor, you've taken on roles of it's a women-owned business for the most part, and you're helping women lead their own families, but then also monetarily grow and financially grow. So give me a few words on that before we move forward.
Well, when I was creating Barnes Appraising, I took a step back and I said, what do I want? What are the things that are important to me? And can I have and do it all? And I think sometimes we've been taught that you can't. Mm-hmm. Especially as women, if you want a family and you want a full-time career and you want to do it all well, it seems like a really tall order. Mm-hmm. And so I took a step back and I said, as an organization, not just as an individual, is there a way to do this, to structure this thing so that everyone, if they want, right, can have and do it all? They can be the mom. They can, mm-hmm, be the wife. They can still have the career. And can we structure this in a way that incentivizes employees to be passionate about what they do and also be able to step into those other roles that are also important? And so I kind of threw all the rules out the window and I said, let's give it a shot. So what we did is create an incentive-based pay model, which I think it works really well for that type of employee. We built the company around the employee. Mm-hmm. That's what we did. And I don't know how many companies actually do that.
It's true.
And but we're investing in people. Appraising real estate, you know, it's a fun thing. I enjoy it, but there's not always a whole lot of meaning in it at the end of the day in terms of deeper meaning.
Right.
But when you're creating an environment where people love to spend half of the life that they live, which is what people do in their working environment,
right,
they feel like they're accomplishing something greater, and they're part of a team, you're actually giving them something that makes them excited to work up and show up. And then when you create a pay structure that says, if I'm doing well as a company, you're doing well as an employee too, that gives them a deeper investment in your organization and doing their job well, because it means that they're going to also do well. And so we created this recipe for incentive-based pay with a self-motivated structure where there are clear expectations, but flexibility in the framework of how those things happen, as long as they get done in a certain time frame. I don't care how long it takes you. I don't want to punish you for being effective in what you do. And that seems to have worked really well for us as an organization. I actually have never gotten any complaints about it.
Right.
And so I think that's really important, is considering the people who are making the company successful and what is important in their lives. And if you can help them feed that, then you're also feeding your organization.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And some of the advice that I even give to some of the companies now, when I step into an organization, I always ask about their stock structure and their employee stock option plans. Because if your employees are not invested in your company's success, you're not going to drive the best bottom line that you can. They're not 100% invested in your success or your company's success. They're going to be attached to their own success, and that might mean leaving you for a better opportunity that comes along, because they want to provide for their families as well. And so I believe in sharing the wealth for sure, in companies, you know, certainly giving back in every way that they can, and certainly sharing in stock, sharing in revenue, and in the profit is critically important to that success. And I know you do that with your organization. And for everyone that may have joined a little late, my guest today is Jennifer Barnes from Barnes Appraising and Life Totes. So you serve the global community in many ways as well. So tell us about your dedication to that specific leadership, because what you do is not just here in Georgia, but you do it, you know, really across the world. So tell us about your global leadership.
You know, our world can feel really chaotic at times if we start to look around and some of the issues we're facing as a society. I'm not generally one to shy away from the challenge, especially if it involves solving a problem. That's just part of my personality and what causes me to thrive, mm-hmm, and gain meaning. And there are a few problems within our society that I personally find to be extremely passionate about seeing go away.
Yeah.
And the primary one of issue that I'm really passionate about going away is the exploitation of women and children within our society. And through studying that, I've found that the problem at the core that undergirds that is poverty. So I've chosen to become involved in several local and global organizations that address these problems. And it's my way of giving out of who I am to help solve the problems on behalf of others who aren't able to solve them for themselves. And so Atlanta has several really great organizations like the King Center and the Carter Center. And there's an organization that I helped bring to Atlanta called 1 Billion Rising that raises awareness on a global level about some of the issues of violence that affect women and children, the least of these among us, mm-hmm. that I've chosen to become a part of in terms of a collaborative effort to help solve some of these issues and problems.
Yeah, no, I've watched this through the years, and it's very encouraging because the people that you're able to bring together, motivate, inspire, and then generations kind of reaching deeper into the younger generations as well and inspiring them. I've seen you go through a lot of those organizations. So what are some of the organizations and areas that you assist with today?
Well, I just named a few. Yeah. I've a lot of these organizations like the King Center I use and the Carter Center I use as an opportunity to educate myself. They have a lot of forums, a lot of global leaders that come through there mm-hmm. to help enlighten the public if they choose to be.
Yeah, and anybody can do that. It's not just
anybody
can go to these sessions. And I think that's the part of the inspiring story is it's not always who you know. It's how are you becoming active? How are you going to choose to make a difference? And that's something you've done personally.
Absolutely. It's giving out of who you are, like our little friend Aiden.
Yeah.
And he might be offended if I call him little, but he's a young guy in his teens.
But he's doing very big things globally.
He's doing very big things about giving back. And he always says, give out of who you are. And who I am is an entrepreneur, and I am a problem solver. And so if I see a problem and I walk around the wall of it, so to speak, I can generally say, hey, these are some of the gaps. Let's bring these people together to collaborate on that issue. And that's where I find myself. So the King Center, the Carter Center, 1 Billion Rising is a great organization that I'm so proud to be a part of, really, because they're doing wonderful work all around the world on behalf of women and children. And Wellspring Living is a great, great local organization working to end human trafficking in Atlanta specifically. And they're restoring the lives of these women who have found themselves, and most of them are young girls who have found themselves exploited. So these are the issues I'm passionate about. Someone else may be really passionate about something else. Find a way to leverage what you're good at.
Right.
Or what you do as an individual really well so that you can get involved to help solve a problem somewhere in your local area.
Who has most influenced you in your life?
Man, there have been so many people that I've been blessed to have in my life who've poured into me. But I would say my grandfather is one of the biggest.
Yeah.
And he was a professional baseball player. He played with Jackie Robinson back in the day for the in the Brooklyn Dodgers organization.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, he just had this yearning in him to do something more. And he ended up following his heart and giving up a professional baseball career to become a minister. And that story, growing up hearing it and then seeing the life that he and my grandmother lived, that built a legacy of love and elevated that over fame or money, really instilled within me that there's more than what we tend to give the most weight to in society. And so I think that he's the biggest person who's influenced my life. My mom is another one because she's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
She left a career in my young years, and I remember watching her say, I want independence. I want more for my family, more opportunity, and I want to be able to give my kids more. And the biggest thing she gave me was an example of taking that leap when it was time as a woman.
Yeah.
And then I think that, you've definitely influenced me. You standing behind me saying jump so many times when my knees were shaking,
mm-hmm.
And knowing that even if I failed,
you
were going to be there.
It's fine.
That's been a big one. So I've had so many people, and the list could go on and on, honestly, but feel very blessed for some of the influences in my life.
Yeah, and we've all failed, and we actually learn probably as much from our failures and sometimes more than from our successes. And I've watched that through a lot of entrepreneurs out there. you know, you learn a lot through failures. Thankfully, you haven't had any, but we've all
all had failures. definitely
at different levels. Correct.
Yeah.
So now let's turn the corner over to Life Totes, because it's inspiring. It's a wonderful story. It's a global story. You're making a difference all over the world with Life Totes. But tell us about this organization.
Life Totes is a new launch. We launched it in July, and it's been several years in the making, and sort of a labor of love for me out of a lot of the issues that I've studied that are going on in our world, especially affecting women and children. But we are a social enterprise that trains and educates those in our world that don't have access to opportunities that eventually lead to the ability to provide for themselves and their families. So our first project in Cambodia which is an area where people are horribly exploited. Mm-hmm. And it's underneath all of that is poverty and just lack of access to education and job skill training. So what we've done is partnered with women there. The number one trade in Cambodia is the textile industry. That's what drives their economy. And we are teaching women that trade, and we're helping them create useful items, accessories, and handbags out of reclaimed things that are polluting their area. And then we're helping them sell those products here in the United States and then sending the profits back to help develop their local infrastructure, primarily building schools and med clinics and churches. So we launched in July. We have built a school that also serves as a med clinic and a church. And I'm headed back in January to see that school for the first time. I'm so excited. This school is located literally in a landfill where there are 60 families who live in a landfill. They sift through the landfill for a living. There has never been a school there. Now we have 60 families whose children have an opportunity to get out of that lifestyle. That's huge.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that hard. I don't even want to elevate it or try to make it sound like it was, because it really was quite easy to do. And so it's amazing to me that we, for so little in American dollar terms, can do so much if we just learn and extend ourselves to understanding some of the things that are out there that people are struggling with, and how easy sometimes it is to meet those needs.
Right. So talk a little bit about, one of the really cool things, it's cement bags, it's other items that are discarded, they're polluting landfills, they're polluting streams and rivers. And so these bags are being collected, and over there in the textiles, these women are actually making them into purses and handbags and backpacks and wallets and everything. And then you're bringing them over here. So tell us a little bit about, you know, that. But then also you're making another trip here in a couple of weeks back over to Cambodia. And what will you do?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's solving one social issue after the other.
Yeah.
These items are discarded. They're polluting water sources. And these women who have no opportunity are being taught to convert them into something that's useful for no money to them. So there's the cost for them is so low. And then they're being trained in a skillful trade that's going to give them a future far beyond maybe even this.
Yeah.
And then we're partnering with them as independent of them. So we're teaching them to be entrepreneurs. We don't want them to work for us. We want them to work with us.
Right.
And we want them to have the independence that we've had. Yep. So that's sustainable. They're getting a dignified wage for these items that they're making. So already we're doing a lot of good there. And then on the back end, once we help them sell those products here, mm-hmm. we're raising awareness about who they are and their beautiful stories and their ingenuity and you know, the amazing potential that can come out of these really, really poor communities. And then sending the profits back to do things that further their future. That benefits everyone, not just them. It benefits us. That benefits and feeds me.
Yeah.
We're going back in Cambodia to Cambodia in July. January, in just a couple of weeks here.
And then also going back in July as well.
Yeah. So we take a couple of trips a year now.
Yeah.
So we're going to be working on new product lines. We have a new product line made out of recycled tires. We're making clutches and handbags and wallets.
Yeah, I've seen a couple. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, they're prototype. Really, really chic and high-end. And I hope people are able to check out our website in the spring for this new product line at lifetotes.org. We'll also be visiting the Life Tote School while we're there, assessing what some of the next needs are for that community. I think it's going to be a clean water source. Mm-hmm. So that's where the proceeds and the profits are going to go over the next season for the new product line that we're rolling out.
Perfect. So in the remaining couple of seconds here, you have a phenomenal story, but and obviously you draw inspiration from lots of places, but what is your favorite place, and I ask this for all my guests, to get or be inspired?
Well, my faith is the driving force behind everything that I do. So I find ways, my biggest inspiration is any form of worship, and I find ways to do that throughout my day, all day, every day, that I have an idle moment or a quiet moment just to put on some worship music or listen to a sermon from Billy Graham to Dr. King to Joyce Meyer to, I mean, I have so many influential voices that are always in my ear. So that's where I find most of my inspiration.
And just by opening the Bible.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, Jen, thank you very much. It was awesome to have you in studio. Time flies, but I truly appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us. And I'm sure we'll have you back because I know my audience is going to want to follow on to your Cambodia travels and what you guys, how you're making a difference globally.
Well, thanks for having me.
No, my pleasure. And thank you to everyone for listening and joining us today. Please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. As always, you can track me on Twitter at HIT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustIn so we can respond to your comments from the show. In addition, all my content will be posted on our website at justinbarnes.com. Thanks, everyone. Have a terrific week.